Welcome to the Salt Church Podcast. We're a church that meets in the heart of Wollongong. Come and visit us on Sundays, 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. at 275 Kira Street. We'd love to meet you.
I don't watch or read much news because it's sad. It's distressing. It's upsetting. The world looks out of control and it looks like it's getting worse. And I know enough people already who are in pain. I feel like I don't have much energy to watch more people who are suffering. We're in this series at the moment, Four Questions from God. We have questions for God. Turns out he has questions for us too. And this is the question we're looking at today. It is about to come up on the screen. I mean, Dan already told you. Oh, surprise, unveil. You already had this. What if I'm better than you think? That's the question. And it's not a hypothetical question, is it? Because we all live in this world of bad news. We all live in a world of evil and pain, and for some of us, suffering and pain is right in your life. It's right in front of you, right in your face. It's a live question for you. What do you do when your life falls apart and when evil knocks on your door? For others of us, life is pretty good. We live in one of the best parts of the world. You got plenty of money. You know, we'd always prefer more money, but you got plenty. You got good friends. COVID's been annoying. COVID's cancelled some of your plans, but all things considered, life is pretty good. You know, the main problems in your life are probably problems that you cause. It's not a live question until you're at a funeral, or your mate gets depression, or your parents get cancer. Suffering just forces itself in, however much we try and avoid it. The world is clearly not right. So it's a big question that we're all interested in, and I think it's made bigger by four factors. Four factors. Suffering is probably the biggest reason people stop trusting God. Without trying, I can list half a dozen people I know who used to call themselves Christians. They suffered, and they decided God's not trustworthy, and they stopped being Christian. And it's not just ex-Christians. When I speak to people who call themselves atheists, their objections to God are almost always logical, moral, and personal. So logical, you know, God's in control of everything. God decides what happens, and I'm responsible for what I decide. That doesn't make sense. How can that fit? Moral, how can God stand by when COVID deaths are spiraling out of control? Why didn't God stop the Holocaust? Those kinds of things. But then almost always this personal experience of suffering, where the person cried out to God, and he didn't answer. Maybe he's not there. Second factor, suffering is the Achilles heel of Christianity. If God is real and he's good, Christians have to show why evil exists. Atheists actually have the opposite problem. They have to explain where good comes from. Why does good exist? If the world exists and it continues by millions of random chances, if life has no meaning other than to reproduce your species, how did good happen? Where did good come from out of all that kind of meaninglessness? And how can you actually call some things good and other things not good? Isn't that just personal preference if it's all kind of just random? Well, Christians have an answer to that one. Everything that's good comes from God, the God of the Bible, and he tells us what's good and bad. But Christians have the opposite problem. We have the opposite challenge. Why is there so much evil? If God is real and he's powerful and he's good and he hates evil, why does he let so much evil happen? That's a big factor. Third factor, this is not how I'd talk about suffering if it was just me and you instead of me and 100 of you. Yeah, I would start by listening for a long time to your story with a box of tissues between us in case one of us has COVID, you know. Can't be too careful at the moment. But I realize I'm talking to this whole group and I have no idea what's happened in your week, let alone your life. I wish I could hear your story. I wish I could speak to your story, because I would actually say all of this so different. And the fourth factor that makes this hard, the answers don't stop the pain. We suffer because we're missing something good. You know, physical health, mental health, a stolen childhood, a family member who's not there anymore, a child or a spouse that we never had. Sometimes suffering is worse by not knowing why it happened. Sometimes it's harder if we don't know why it happened. But even if you know the reason, it doesn't stop the pain. As well as the answers, today you might need just to feel sad for a while. That's how feelings work, isn't it? We're made to feel them. They're made to be felt. If you squash them down, then they resurface. But if you let them come, they might feel overwhelming, but they'll pass after a while. Free bit of counseling for you. My point is, you might find answers today and still feel rubbish and still feel awful. But that doesn't mean the answers were wrong or that they weren't helpful. There's actually two things going on there. Answers, meaning, and how you feel about that, your emotional journey. So what if God is better than we think? We need an answer to get through the pain that life inevitably brings. But we also need an answer so we'll trust God. Because if God is worse than we think, of course you'd want nothing to do with him. You'd keep your distance from him. But if God is better than we think, well, you'd want to know him. You'd want to trust him. You'd want to be saved by him. So let's jump in and see what we find. Usually when we experience evil, I reckon we list all the things that are wrong with the world, all the things wrong with our life, and we ask God what he's doing about it. But that's not where the Bible starts. The Bible starts with God creating good. Here's what it says in Genesis 1. There's going to be a whole bunch of passages up on the screen today. Here's what it says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good. God creates things that are good, and he sees that they're good. And when he finishes making everything that is, here's his summary. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Whatever good there is in your life is from God. The reason the beach in summer is awesome is God. The reason holidays are relaxing is God. The reason there's this fascinating world to explore and travel is so much fun, that's because of God. The reason food tastes good is God. God creates good because God is the source of good. Let me show you this from passage after passage to prove this is the way God talks about himself. First one, Psalm 16. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Psalm 145. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. 1 Timothy 6. It is God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. James 1, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. And last one, Acts. This passage actually tells us one of the reasons God does this is to show us that it's come from him. God has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. Now, you might not agree with those. You might not agree with those verses. You might not agree that God is the source of all that's good. But you can't avoid that that's what the Bible is saying. And that's what God says about himself. And if you take that on face value, you've got to say, God is better than we usually give him credit for. There's a lot of evil in the world. And we're quick to accuse God of doing that evil or not doing enough to stop that evil. We're much slower to acknowledge all the good that God does. That's the first thing God has to say to us about this question, actually, that God is the giver of all that's good. There's this big push at the moment to be grateful. There's all these health benefits to being grateful. It's scientifically proven. Gratitude increases your happiness by 25%, gives you a stronger immune system, better quality sleep, improves your mental health, gives you perspective, calm, happiness. It's been proven by studies, and I think it's the kind of thing that we know by experience too. Being grateful for things is a great way to live. That's why we have sayings to remind us about this, things like count your blessings, and you know, there's a silver lining to every cloud, and hashtag blessed. It's to remind us that being grateful for things is a great way to be. But what the research misses is that it matters who you're grateful to. I reckon it actually matters more. There's this running joke in my family. I got a couple of young kids, and often my kids forget which aunt or uncle or grandparent gave them which gift. So for instance, and they end up giving credit to the wrong person. So if my kid's grandpa, my dad, you get it. You know how grandpas work. If my dad bought a gift, then they're calling my brother and they'll say, "Thanks for the gift." and he'll end up with the credit. The thing, though, that's a real problem is that all of my family is very happy to claim credit for each other's gifts. There's all sorts of tension there going on. But if someone gave a gift to you, there's two things that would be wrong. It'd be bad to take it without giving thanks, and it would be bad to credit the wrong person. Yet as we hear what God says, we discover those are the very two things that all humans have done. God is the giver of all that's good, but we don't give him thanks and we don't give him credit. Have a listen to this from Romans 1. It says, although, it's talking about all people, although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. And then a bit later on, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator. I think there's this big move to be grateful because our natural bent is not to be grateful. We have to remind ourselves to give thanks. We need scientific proof to convince us being grateful is a good way to be. Worse, this is saying on the rare occasion when we do thank God and do remember to give thanks to God instead of just taking his stuff, we don't credit God. We worship the gift. We take the creation and ignore the Creator. We take the gift and praise the gift instead of the giver. We thank all sorts of people. We thank Mother Nature, the universe, luck, our own cleverness in being at the right place at the right time. But if you've ever thanked Mother Nature or the universe or yourself, that's the wrong place to give credit. If you've ever said, I'm so lucky that this happened to me, that's the wrong place to give credit. Luck never led you to a good result. It was God who gave you that. He might have used seeming chance to do it, but God sits behind luck. There's actually no such thing as luck. God's in control of everything. So we tend to coast through life enjoying God's gifts until we experience evil. That's when we notice God again, long enough to question and blame him. Do you see there's something off about that? If we're to only think about God when things go wrong, I mean, if we're willing to hear what God says to us, God is better than we think, better than we imagine, and we're worse than we realize. And it even gets worse. God came to us. God comes to us, and humans kill him. God experienced evil from us. Every Christmas, we remember how God came to be with us, how the Son of God came as the man, Jesus Christ, born in poverty to a scared teenage mum into a life of suffering. Every Easter, we remember the story Dan read out for us, how the Son of God, the man, Jesus Christ, was murdered on a cross, put to death by religious people because they were jealous of his influence, put to death by political people because he threatens their power, put to death by unbelieving people because they were outraged at his claims. The Son of God, the man Jesus Christ, experienced evil from us. The one that we ought to thank, the one that we ought to trust, the giver of all that's good. Not only do we not give him thanks, not only do we give credit elsewhere, we kill him. You can't get much further away from thanks than murder. Yeah, murdering a gift giver is probably what? Top three worst ways to respond to a gift? It's right up there. It's bad. This is astonishing that we do this. But the most astonishing thing is, Jesus' murder is the way God fixes evil. Well, let's take a step aside for a second. Where does evil come from? Where does evil come from? Where does it come from? The source of evil matters. You see this with coronavirus, the source matters. We discovered it's a virus from animals spread to people. That mattered. It mattered to know that because it showed us what we were dealing with, what we were facing. Well, according to God, the sources of evil are people, humans, are spiritual forces rebelling against God. But God is never the one who does evil. Darkness is one of the ways the Bible talks about evil, the opposite of light. And here's a passage describing what God's like. This is the message we've heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. According to God, he's never the source of evil. He can't be. He's perfect, pure light. But listen to this description of people. This is talking about Jesus. This is the verdict. Light, Jesus, has come into the world. But people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. God is perfectly good. It's people who do evil. There's this famous story of a time in the early 1900s where the London Times newspaper asked several authors to write a response to this question. What is wrong with the world today? What is wrong with the world today was the question. Whole bunch of authors wrote in all sorts of stuff. The shortest reply came from an author named G.K. Chesterton. Here's what he said. Dear sir, I am. Yours, G.K. Chesterton. There's something so right about that, isn't there? We're not pure evil, but none of us are pure light like God is. There's darkness in us. Now, the Bible says heaps more about evil. There's many unanswered questions here, and I'm unsatisfied by the answers that we're going to see today. But let's step back in again, because really, where evil comes from is not the most important question. Where evil comes from is not as important as where it's going, what's going to happen to it. And you see this again with coronavirus. What matters most, the questions that we're asking are will it increase or will it decrease? Will the vaccines work? Will 2021 be the last year we ever hear about it? Or will it be the second year of the rest of your life? You know, those are the things that we're worried about. Same with evil. Where it's from is not as important as where it's going. And here's where it's going. God experienced evil from us to stop and fix evil. Because here's what God's done through Jesus. Have a look at this verse. God was pleased through him, through Jesus, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. God has made peace through Jesus. He's defeated evil. It happens at the cosmic, universal level, but it also happens in the lives of individual people too. So listen to the next bit. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you, he's made peace, he's reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Through Jesus, the Son of God, God takes people from darkness and brings them into the light. God heals the evil in us. So we're not evil anymore. We're not thankless. We don't worship the gifts. We're holy, blameless, free from accusation. We know and trust and worship God, the giver, the creator, the savior. This is what Jesus has done. He's fixed evil in us, from the inside. We have no right for God to ask this from God, but God fixes the evil in us. The Bible tells the real, true story of God overthrowing evil from the inside as Jesus dies and rises again, which I think is actually a great comfort for us in our pain. God knows what it's like. God knows what it's like to face evil because he experienced it. He knows what it's like to suffer pain and loss and evil from the inside. Without ever doing evil, God knows what it's like to suffer. And God knows what it's like to fix it. He fixes suffering and pain and loss and evil from the inside. And having started fixing it, God will finish. Those amazing words that we read earlier that Joe read for us from Isaiah. A brand new creation. No evil, no pain, no sin, everything made right. That's where God's going. So the question is, will you trust that God is better than you think? Let me talk to you for a second. If you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, kind of exploring all these ideas, I feel like it's safe for me to assume that you want an end to evil and suffering in the world and the evil and suffering in your own life. I feel like we all want that. And if there is a God, you'd want that God to fix it, right? What we've seen is that God is fixing it. He's already started that, and he always finishes what he starts. So the question is, will you trust him? He's not the source of evil. He's the only one who can fix it. And will you ask him to fix one of the causes, one of the sources of evil, yours? The evil in your life, in your heart. And I'm not saying that you're worse than anybody else. You're not as bad as Hitler, I'm sure. Like, we all have different levels, different extents of evil, but it is something that we all share. We all walk in the darkness. I remember this warning, though, that Jesus gives about darkness and light. He said, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. Do you want truth? Do you want light? Or would you prefer to join the many people who push God away and accuse God of evil so we don't have to face our own evil? Now, of course, if God was evil, then you would push him away. You'd want nothing to do with him. But if God is better than you think, then you'd want to know him, to trust him, to be saved by him. And you can be certain that that's what God wants from you. God wants us to know him and trust him. That's actually why he gives us good, to point us to him. And that's one reason why he lets us suffer and experience pain, to point us to him. It's another way that he leads us to notice him. Here's another quote. This comes from C.S. Lewis, another writer. He said, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our consciences, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. If that's true, are you listening? Will you listen? Or will you coast through life enjoying God's gifts until you experience evil, and then you notice God again long enough to question and blame him? Now let me talk to you if you'd call yourself a Christian, if you've trusted in Jesus. The question is, will you keep trusting in Jesus? We first trusted Jesus to bring us into the light, to take our place, to reconcile us to God. We know that that's nothing we could have ever done. Will you keep trusting Jesus to remove the evil that's still in us? Will you keep trusting Jesus to bring you safely home to that new creation with no sin, no pain anymore? I heard a definition of faith once that I really liked. Faith, let me give it to you. Faith is being convinced, no matter what your circumstances are, that the face of your heavenly Father is turned towards you in love. Faith is being convinced, no matter what your circumstances are, that the face of your heavenly Father is turned towards you in love. I think that's a really helpful definition. And we need that faith. We need that trust. Firstly, because it's true. God is for us. His face is turned towards us. But second, we need that faith because a lot of the time it doesn't look like God is for us. Christians suffer as much as anyone else. In fact, I think Christians suffer more. I've got Christian relatives and friends who have spent years in hospital. I've got Christian friends who have been bedbound for a decade. I've had a history of struggling with anxiety and depression. I've had days where I'm so anxious that I'm shaking for over an hour. I've had days where I've felt so crushed by depression that all I feel and see is despair. I've got a friend who's a Christian pastor, and God gave him a baby boy, and then 4 months later, he was performing CPR on his dead son's body. And all these things, I'm sure you have many more stories you can add, and all these things, we know God could stop them. We know God could fix them like that. And when he doesn't, it is hard to trust him. It is so hard to trust him. And I see me and I see Christians, other Christians do two things. We change what we believe and we change what we ask for. We change what we believe. We start to think that maybe God isn't good. Maybe God isn't all powerful. Maybe God won't stop and fix evil once and for all. But it's not the Bible that led us to that. It's not God's unfailing word that led us to that conclusion. It's experience. It's our circumstances. Well, the other thing we do is we change what we ask for. Prayer changes. Prayer becomes about asking for peace and strength to get through what you're facing. And that's actually good. Never stop praying for that. God loves to hear that. Ask for peace. Ask for strength to get through it. But we stop asking God to fix it. We stop asking God to keep his promises. And we stop asking to avoid pain. Like if you're asking your boss for a promotion and they kept saying no, After a while, you'd stop asking because it hurts. We know God can fix all our pain. And one day in the new creation, we know he certainly will. But when he doesn't, sometimes after years of asking him, we stop asking because it hurts. Keep asking. It's hard to trust. It's so hard. But it's only hard because our circumstances get in the way of seeing that the face of your heavenly Father is turned towards you in love. God promises an end to our suffering, sin, pain, death. God will deliver. And this is something actually I think we are doing as a church. We are trusting God in this. I got so many stories I could share of the suffering that we've experienced and the way that we keep trusting Jesus and keep pointing each other to Jesus. God is actually infinitely better than we think. So will you trust him? Will you keep on trusting him? Let's pray. Father God, this is such a heavy topic, but we know that you are good. You have showered us with so much blessing. A lot of the time, we don't even give you thanks for it. We don't even notice it. We just take it for granted. But as we pause, thank you so much for all your goodness to us. And especially, thank you for your goodness of sending your son that humans murdered, but that you solved, you fixed the evil in us in that murder. We praise you so much, Lord, that we have a relationship with you, that you have fixed the evil in us and you are fixing that, that you will take us to be with you in a place with no more pain, no suffering, no death, no evil. Please help us who are Christians to keep on trusting you until the very end, no matter what this life brings, to be convinced that your face is turned towards us in love. And for those of us who wouldn't call ourselves Christians, who are exploring you, please make yourself known, God, by your word. Please help people to know how good you are. Help them to trust you too. Amen.